The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, source of every blessing, you showed forth your glory and led many to faith by the works of your Son, who brought gladness and salvation to his people. Transform us by the Spirit of his love, that we may find our life together in him, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Word of God, word of life. Psalm 36, responsively. Let's pray. Your love, O Lord, reaches into the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness.
How priceless is your love, O God. All people take refuge under the shadow of your wings. For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A second reading from 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, Let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to John. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Excuse me. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you or to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Some people think this water into wine miracle is the most awesome of all of God's works that were performed through Jesus. A scientist told me that this miracle was his favorite miracle because he knew that a molecule of water is impossible for that molecule of water to become a molecule of alcohol. That is totally impossible. And that is exactly what happened. Water into wine. And not just any wine, the most exquisite, fine wine that anyone had ever tasted. Most people at the wedding didn't even know the origin of that wine. In fact, only the servants were really aware of where that wine came from. There was no thunderclap, no voice from heaven, no crowd standing around watching in jaw-dropping amazement. But the miracle of Jesus isn't about science. The miracle of Jesus points us to see the divinity of Christ, the power of God at work in his son Jesus. And sometimes we miss that point. St. Augustine said that what Jesus did at Cana was really nothing more than a speeded up version of what God does every year on hundreds of hillsides with vineyards around the world as vines silently turn grapes or water into wine. Millions of people enjoy that wine every year without for a moment recognizing the miracle of it all. In this miracle, God reveals himself as a God whose abundant overflow of grace, a gift that knows no bounds. This story reveals the abundance of God's grace. And it also reveals that God does not demand a certain behavior or a statement of faith before he pours out his grace and his blessing. God is always the first to act, and we are invited to share in and enjoy the goodness and the abundance of creation. Even if we, like the guests at that wedding banquet, don't know how it happened, don't know that we are being served the very best wine, don't know that we are being blessed with the abundance and amazing grace, God keeps on blessing and gracing us, even if we don't realize it, even if we don't recognize it. Even when the small and the great miracles of our lives happen and we fail to acknowledge the source of these miracles, God keeps on blessing and blessing us anyway. Abundance has to be one of the main themes of this story. But another of the main themes is that something very ordinary is used to bring about something extraordinary. Ordinary stone jars, ordinary obedient servants doing what they're being told to do, and water, just about as ordinary as you can get. This sign at Cana was a sign of God's abundance poured out for us
and a sign of God using ordinary material to bring about extraordinary results. Could this be about God blessing us with abundance and about God using ordinary you and ordinary me for God's miraculous purposes? 6 stone jars, 20, 30 gallons in each jar. 6 jars, stone jars, filled to the brim with water. 30 gallons of wine would probably have been enough for the whole crowd of people, more than enough to keep the party going. And yet Jesus provided 180 gallons of wine. 180 gallons of mighty fine wine. Is that a Three Dog Night song? Jeremiah was a bullfrog, and he always had some mighty fine wine, the best wine that anyone has ever tasted, and enough of it to last through the remaining days of the wedding celebration. The guests may not have known what happened, how they were being served such exquisite wine that was flowing freely and abundantly, but they must have known that something important was happening. How about you? Are you an observant guest at the celebration called life? Do you know that something important is happening in your life? If we pay attention, we know that real human thirst and our deepest hungers are for the life of God, the life that God offers us, that close, loving relationship with the Holy One who loves us. We're so spiritually hungry and thirsty that we often fill our lives with material stuff in an effort to satisfy those needs. You know, some people have distorted the gospel in such a way that the message, they say that the Bible tells us that God really wants us to have a lot of stuff. That prosperity gospel is not the true gospel. That's a different kind of abundance than the kind that Jesus shares, a very different kind of ordinary into extraordinary. That prosperity gospel leaves us sitting hungry in the midst of excess, longing for the abundance of God, thirsting for God's grace. You know, maybe physical drunkenness that is the result of too much wine is a good metaphor for the ways that we dull our physical and spiritual perceptions. There are so many wines in the world that have the power to hinder us on our spiritual path and put us into a self-absorbed stupor of isolation. No wonder we miss the revelation of God in the world. We are drunk with the abundance of stuff and self. Now, I don't mean to imply that the more simply one lives, the more close one is to God. But the truth is that our complicated and cluttered lives often get in the way of us recognizing the miracles and signs of Jesus present in the world. Think of your own life, in your own life. What hidden abundance, like water in those stone jars, is just waiting to be transformed into the wine of celebration and joy in your life? What ordinary thing is God transforming into extraordinary in your life that you only need to look at, to see, to taste, to know. When your life, your relationships, your job, your church involvement, when all of that feels like all work, take a break and think about Cana. In the obedience to Jesus, those dutiful servants did what he asked, and they were responsible for the continuation of the celebration. For ordinary water to become extraordinary wine. Those servants lugged those big stone jars and filled them with water and carried them back into the reception hall. They were doing this work, not knowing what they were about, doing this work of turning ordinary into extraordinary. And the word of Jesus changes everything. Jesus didn't tell them, this is what I'm going to do. Go get some water so I can change it into wine. He just said, fill these jars with water. Sometimes the word of Jesus to us may sound like so much direction, and we want to know what the end result is. Fill these jars with water. Why? What are you going to do? They didn't ask. They just did it. And the miracle happened. We don't always have to know the end, what's going to happen to be on the path, to stay on that path where the word of Jesus can change our ordinary daily into extraordinary celebration. That can happen when we open ourselves to the presence of Jesus. His power can transform even the most mundane into the most excellent. The ordinary into the extraordinary, and in abundance. So what is that unseen power in you? St. Paul says, each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There's no one here that is not part of that each. That we all have been given the power, a gift, Paul says, each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's God's promise in this first sign of Jesus' signs that the ordinary, you and me, can be turned into the extraordinary. That people who are fresh out of hope can share in the abundance of God's promise in Jesus Christ. Jesus turned water into wine, scarcity into abundance, despair into hope, hatred into love, violence into peace and healing. And he invites all of us to share in that and to share in all of that. Jesus invites us through the waters of baptism, through the bread and wine that we receive from this altar in this holy meal, through the promise of God's holy word to us. Jesus invites us to see God revealed in the many miracles that take place all around us, all the time. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Let us see the miracles that are in our lives. Let us see the ordinary in us becoming extraordinary for the glory of God. Thanks be to God for the abundance of his grace and mercy poured out upon us. Amen.